Hello, and welcome to the Special Ed Strategist Podcast, your go-to resource for navigating the intricate world of special education. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, and today we are delving deep into the core elements of individualized education programs or plans, or simply IEPs. Before we dive into today's discussion, let me take a moment to set the stage. As parents, educators, and anyone involved in the journey of special education, understanding the nuances of the IEP is crucial. It's not just a document, it's a personalized roadmap that shapes the educational experience for students with unique needs. Today, we're unpacking key sections from the present level of performance to annual goals, special education related services, and supplementary aids, and those critical special factors. Why is this so important, you might ask? Well, the IEP is more than a legal requirement. It is a commitment to providing tailored support that goes beyond the one-size-fits-all approach. It's about recognizing the potential in every child and ensuring that the educational journey is unique as they are. Whether you're a parent seeking insights into your child's IEP or an educator fine-tuning your strategies, this episode is your compass in navigating the IEP landscape. Before we get going, this is a friendly reminder, hit that like button, follow us for more valuable content, and don't forget to share this podcast with others who might find it helpful. Your support helps us reach more families, educators, and advocates, creating a stronger community for everyone involved in special education. As for those of you looking for additional support in bridging learning gaps and accessing special education service, check out Learning Essentials. We are committed to empowering families and educators with resources and strategies to navigate the complexities of special education. Go ahead and visit our website, learningessentialsedu.com, for a wealth of information and support. Alrighty, so let's jump into today's episode of the Special Ed Strategist Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Taylor, and I'm thrilled to have you on this journey of knowledge, empowerment, and advocacy in special education. The first component we're going to delve into is a critical component of the IEP. It really sets the stage. So starting with the present level of performance, or PLOP. We explore how understanding a student's current abilities is a foundation for effective interventions. Remember, parents, you can play an active role in this process by regularly reviewing homework assignments and engaging in open communication with teachers. I also want to strongly encourage you, parents, to write your parent input statement. I did a solo episode about that because that is going to help be a part of the present level of performance. So the PLOP section, that present level of performance, outlines the student's current academic and functional abilities, and it's serving as a baseline for designing appropriate educational interventions. When we talk about academic and functional abilities, we are talking about processing memory and attention as it relates to the academics. We're also talking about social and emotional, physical, sensory needs, functional, communication, the whole child is what you want to think about, and that's what you should see in that present level of performance. So pay attention to specific and measurable descriptions of the student's strengths and challenges. I want you to look for evidence of assessments, teacher observation, and input from other professionals. The importance of accurately assessing a student's present level of performance is underscored by a case that I've discussed several times on my episode. That is the Andrew F. versus Douglas County School Boards. The Supreme Court ruled that a child's IEP must be reasonably calculated to enable progress appropriate in light of the child's circumstance. So parents, you can monitor your kiddo's progress at home by regularly reviewing and discussing homework assignments, whether it's once a week with your kiddo, say on Sunday, or every evening. Communicating with teachers to understand areas of strengths, gaps, and gains, you can initiate regular communication with your kiddo's teachers through email or establish time to speak on the phone. And always try to maintain those open lines of communication with the school to stay informed about assessments and observations. And you can do this beyond meetings. So I encourage you to do this to get to the school. You can volunteer, attend school events, and just making that positive presence to go along with that consistent communication. And special ed teachers, you can ensure accurate data collection by utilizing various assessment tools, conducting regular observations in different learning and environments. And I find when we're observing our kiddo in different environments within the school and outside of the school day, you can really see where trends lie. You can really see where impacts are. It's a really good baseline for that present level of academic performance and collaborating with other professionals to comprehensively understand the student's ability. So that is really your present level of performance, taking a holistic view. Again, said it before, going from bell to bell, what is the strengths of our student? What are the gaps of our students? And making sure that we're talking and collaborating with everybody that's on that student's team, whether it's a classroom teacher, related resource professional, a guidance counselor, and parents, you as well. So now let's talk about the heartbeat of our IEP. Those are our annual goals. And we're going to take from our present level of performance to develop those annual goals. So our annual goals are that's our roadmap for the student's progress. Parents, you can track these goals at home by establishing a structured routine for homework, engaging in regular discussions with your kiddo. Special education teachers will discuss progress monitoring tools as well, like academic achievement trackers, to ensure that goals are specific, measurable, and aligned with the curriculum. So if we think about annual goals as the cornerstone of the IEP, it's setting clear objectives for a student's progress over the academic year. Guided instruction, it's able to track achievement and measure effectiveness of interventions, because how do we know if what we're setting out on this roadmap is working for our child if we don't have the data to measure what is working, what is not working? So we're going to evaluate the specificity and measurability, attainability, and relevance and time-bound criteria, which we call SMART goals, and they should address the student's unique needs and be aligned with the current curriculum. The idea is the development or establishment of clear and measurable annual goals is emphasized by the case of Board of Education and Hendrick Hudson Central School District versus Raleigh, and that was in 1982, and the Supreme Court held that the IEP must be reasonably calculated to provide the student with some educational benefit, and that the goals should be designed to enable the child to participate in the regular classroom to the maximum extent possible. So parents can monitor their children's progress towards annual goals at home by setting up a structured routine for homework. That way, you're asking, Wendy, what does this have to do with homework? You're able to engage with your kiddo. You're able to see what they're doing, what they're struggling with, how much time, energy, and effort it takes for them to complete an assignment. And that's incredibly important. That time, energy, and effort that goes into it may not be aligned with other students' time, energy, and effort. That's giving you information as to, again, those gaps and gains of your kiddo. Tracking completed assignments and engaging in regular discussions with your kiddo about their academic achievements and their challenges. Our kiddos are going to tell you what's hard and what's not, whether verbally or with their behavior. Special ed teachers, I want you to think about accurately goal tracking by employing progress monitoring tools. I know you guys have a lot to do in your day. I'm going to give you an example here in a second on how to make that happen for you. But having a lot to do in their day does not dismiss that it needs to get done. So adjusting goals is needed on an ongoing basis, ongoing assessment, and collaborating again with our parents and any other kiddos that may be working with that student. An example of that would be that academic achievement tracker. How do you do that? It's going to monitor the student's progress in key academic areas over a specific period. It helps track the effectiveness of the interventions and answers whether the student is meeting their annual goal. Because when you come back to meet at that table at the IEP, parents want to know, other teachers want to know, are they making progress? Well, how do we know that? By tracking that information. So I want you to break it down, subject area, the specific skill, rubric, how are you doing this? It doesn't need to be lengthy. It could be 1 through 5, indicating the student's performance on each skill, 1 through 3, a clear alignment with the student's annual goal and IEP objectives, and frequency of assessments, specifics on how often you are going to conduct the assessment to check in. Is it weekly, monthly? How are you collecting data? And as a special educator, you would implement this by first, you're going to do the initial assessment. You're going to conduct at the beginning of the academic year to establish that baseline. So we know, for example, if you did your IEP in the spring, and you come back in the fall and you have this student, you may want to conduct that baseline, or you do want to conduct that baseline so you know where they started for the beginning of the school year. Then you're going to administer at specific intervals assessments that align with what you're tracking to monitor that progress. And then you're going to do a data analysis. Scores are analyzed to identify the strengths and in where you need additional support. So always leave room for adjustments. The IEP team uses data to adjust instructional strategies and goals as needed. So if we think about, if we're moving on, right? So we've talked about our present level, we've talked about our goals. Another area of special education is related services. We emphasize the importance of collaboration. Parents, your involvement is key in monitoring the effectiveness of these services at home. And an educator keeps those service logs detailed to conduct regular progress reviews and to always take that holistic approach. I have done a solo about related services. If you want to go back and check that out and just understand better what related services are, kind of thinking of occupational therapy, physical therapy, psychological services, and you can get a better understanding. So if we talk about related services in the IEP, it's going to outline specialized services and accommodations students will receive to support their learning and participation in their educational environment. So I want you to look for a comprehensive list of services, accommodations, modifications tailored to your students' needs, and assess if the proposed services align with best practice and are realistic in the given educational setting. And I say that because we talk about free and appropriate education. And I've said this before, when you talk about free and appropriate education, it doesn't mean you get the best bells and whistles, but it needs to be realistic in the given educational setting. And that is where clear communication and collaboration really comes in, that third voice, right? So you have the parents, you have the school side, and in the middle to find that balance. To bring in a court case in 1988, we have the case of Hung and Doe emphasizing the significance of special education related services. The Supreme Court ruled that students with disabilities cannot be excluded from school for behavior related to their disability, highlighting the need for appropriate support services to address any kind of behavioral challenges. So parents, you can monitor the effectiveness of school special education and related services by maintaining regular communication. You see a theme here, observing changes in your students' behavior or academic engagement, and collaborating with the school to ensure that recommended services are implemented consistently. I know it sounds like I've said that before, but schedule regular check-ins with the classroom teacher, the case manager, whomever you're connected with, whoever is helping to guide and support your student. I want those regular check-in meetings with your child's service provider. They can be done through a virtual meeting, a phone call, in person, whenever possible. We do know that having something in writing is always best, but it's really nice to connect with a person and have a conversation as best as we can, right? So if you're a service provider in the school, I say be proactive in scheduling and attending these check-ins, share updates on the kids on your caseload, their progress, discuss any challenges, and collaboratively set short-term goals so that if you are a service provider and you're only seeing that family once a year, it's not a shock of what's coming out of your mouth, that everybody's aware of gaps and gains and what you're working on and readjusting as needed. Oftentimes we can share a digital documentation platform, right? So explore and agree upon a shared digital platform for documentation. I was just in a meeting today where a kiddo has a plan in place and it's through Google Doc, and each classroom, a teacher will pull it up and assign kind of a point system on how this student is doing. It's more of a behavioral lens for this student, but other things can work as well, right? If they're working on something in speech, if they're working on something in OT or PT, we can have a document and parents can look at it and teachers can connect with it so that everybody's on the same page. So it can be a secure online space where a service provider can share progress reports, suggestive activities, and relevant resources. And also make sure that it's user-friendly and accessible for parents so that they are familiar with whatever platform you guys agree on. And then participate actively in goal setting sessions. That's an idea, either virtually or in person. You're sharing insights about your kiddo's needs, aspirations, any observations at home, to really be an active participant. And that even goes back to that parent input statement where you're saying where you see your kiddo now, where you see your kiddo in 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, to really kind of keep that momentum and conversation going about your kid so that we as an IEP team can collectively work together to build a plan that will support your child moving in that direction. Always, parents and providers, again, creating those achievable short-term goals, outlining the steps to achieve them and the roles for both parents and service providers to help that student get there. Now, again, I've done a solo about this previously, that our law does not require IEP goals to have short-term goals and objectives underneath. However, I think it's a really great way to break down how you're going to get from this big moment into little chunks to make it more accessible for all. So special education teachers, you can enhance your service effectiveness by keeping those detailed service logs, conducting regular progress reviews, and collaborating with parents to understand the impact of service on a kiddo's overall development. A service log is that detailed record of the individualized service provided to a kiddo, ensuring transparency, accountability, and effective communication among the IEP team. Always ask for the raw data sheets if you have questions, if you have concerns. This way, everything is transparent. It's accountable of what is taking place. And when we talk about that service log, it's going to have the date and time when you as a special educator, a service provider, met with a student. It identifies the type of service. Was it behavioral sport, occupational therapy, speech therapy, reading intervention, the amount of time, and then the person that was delivering it, and then just a teeny brief description of activities or interventions during the sessions, materials used, observations, achievements, challenges, how did students respond to the service. When I was working in a building, I would have my kiddos on my caseload and I'd have them on a index card with a like a ring, like a book ring. And that way I could just write down some quick notes. It was always with me. If I was running from classroom to classroom supporting students, I'd also do it on sticky notes and have just sticky notes when I was collecting data. That way, when I got back to my computer, I could quickly input it where I had that information so that I wasn't trying to hold something in my head as I'm running around answering questions, helping students, helping professionals, but I had it just with me so that when I had access to a computer, I could put it where it needed to be. And that really worked well for me. The log is regularly reviewed by our IEP team, right? And then also this helps you when you're writing your quarterly progress notes. Having that service log, having that way of data collection is going to make writing those quarterly progress notes way easier. But then if a parent reaches out and is like, hey, I'm noticing this, you have the information. You can just say, oh yeah, let me pull up. Yep, this is what we're working on. This is when they were last seen. This is what I'm seeing. So you have data to really productively speak on a student's progress and what they're doing. So communicating among team members by providing that comprehensive overview of the student's support services is a fantastic way for data and decision-making, right? So it's going to inform our decisions about the effectiveness of the current services and potential adjustments of the student's IEP. Now let's go ahead and talk about supplementary aids, modifications, and special factors. So parents, create an environment at home that accommodates your kiddo's needs. Don't forget to share those insights with the school. When they're reading, what is working? When they're transitioning in your home, what is working? That way, so some of the items that are working at home can be aligned with what's working at school and really make it the seamless transition. I do recognize these are two different environments and what works really well in one may not work the other, but if we can set up a similar environment that is working and communicate what's working is really helpful. Special teachers, detailed instructions, regular check-ins with parents can make the difference in that effective implementation. So these elements detail the additional resources and adaptations required to facilitate that student's learning and participation in mainstream educational activities. I want you to examine the proposed support range, ensuring they address the student's specific challenges, Consider whether their suggested aids and modifications promote inclusion and access to that curriculum. So if we think about a case in 2007, Winkleman versus Parma City School District sheds light on the importance of supplementary aids and services. The Supreme Court held that parents have the right to represent their children in federal court regarding the denial of free and appropriate public education, emphasizing the critical role of supportive services in ensuring access to the education. Parents can monitor the effectiveness of supplementary aids and supports at home by creating that environment again. And as you find additional accommodations helpful at home, go ahead and share them, and vice versa. As an educator, this is really working. Hey, mom, hey, dad, I'm finding this is working. Do you want to give this a shot at home? Special education teachers, you can look at accurate implementation of supplementary aids by providing detailed instructions to folks that are supporting that student, conducting those regular check-ins, even with teachers, as parents, teachers, service providers, really having a conversation to ensure things are working. And if they're not, catch them soon, right? Our final component in our IEP is called notes and considerations, including special factors. Depending on your district, depends on where that section is in the IEP. So it addresses factors such as behavior, communication needs, transition planning, providing context for understanding the student's overall educational experience. I want you to scrutinize the notes and considerations to make sure you've got a good insight into the holistic needs of that student. I want you to evaluate how these factors are integrated into the IEP to create a comprehensive and tailored educational plan. And there's been another court case, that was 2005, where the Supreme Court clarified the burden of proof and disputes over providing a free and appropriate education rest on the party seeking relief. So emphasizing the need for the IEP team to thoroughly consider and document special factors influencing a kiddo's education. So parents can monitor the special factors at home by fostering, again, that open communication. I'm hearing a theme here, right? With your kiddo, with the school, making sure that you're addressing any kind of behavioral communication challenges through that supportive strategy, actively participating in planning discussions to ensure that alignment with your kiddo is involving needs and goals. And special ed teachers, you can enhance that documentation of special factors by maintaining those detailed records of behavioral observations, regularly communicating with parents to gather that insight, like, did something change at home? I'm noticing this at school, and collaborating with other professionals in the building to comprehensively support a student's unique needs. Wow, that was a lot of information, right? So we talked about present level of performance. We talked about goals that align with our present level of performance. We talked about supplementary aids and modifications and our special notes section consideration. Whew, a lot. And there's certainly a theme, right, of communication, documentation, really trying to work together. I know it's not easy all the time, and I know it's sometimes easier said than done, but when it's done right, it is quite beautiful for the student and for everybody involved. So thank you for tuning in to another insightful episode of the Special Ed Strategist podcast. I hope this discussion gave you some insights on the intricacies of the IEP. I hope it empowers you with knowledge and strategies for your unique journey with your kiddo in the world of special education. Remember, the IEP is not just a document, it's a commitment to individualized support, and it's a roadmap for success. If you found today's episode valuable, don't forget to hit that like button, follow us for more content, and share this podcast, please. It would be forever grateful. Let's build that community that advocates for every kiddo's unique educational needs. And before we wrap up, a special shout out, Learning Essentials. If you're seeking additional support, bridging learning gaps, accessing special education services, come give us a visit, learningessentialsedu.com. Our commitment to empowering families and educators aligns perfectly with our mission here at the Special Ed Strategist podcast. Again, I am your host, Wendy Taylor. Stay connected with us on social for any updates, behind the scenes, upcoming episodes. I hope this helps make it a great day. Bye for now.